If you would turn in your Old Testament to the 23rd Psalm, Psalms 23. It's a tremendous, tremendous, often used passage. Fairly short chapter, only 6 verses. I'd like for us to look at it tonight. Look at it from, you know, I doubt if you'll learn anything from it, but you know, it's been studied many times. More of a reminder than anything else. I know a lot of times I've studied passages over and over and over again. And Dick and I were talking, you know, you can study a passage 100 times, and then on the 101st time, you see something that you maybe never heard, or an outlook that you've never considered. I've studied this numerous times, and if anything, it's just such a good reminder, and especially a lot of the concepts found in this chapter for me today. It's been kind of a hectic whirlwind day. You know, you want the sermon to go good, you want everything, you know, to match up, and then realize, you know, after communion or right before communion, it dawned on me that that this morning the outline didn't match the sermon. I grabbed the wrong outline. Little things like that, and then some of the just frustrating things through the day. This psalm keeps things in perspective. You know, I don't think of myself, I'm sure I could get some rebuttal on this, I don't think of myself as a stupid person. I know I'm not the sharpest, you know, tool around, but I don't think of myself as stupid, but something that would take somebody else 15 minutes to do, a simple thing. I was going to try to change some washers in a couple of sinks at the house. They were constantly dripping. And there's not a doubt in my mind, I could have ripped it out of the wall. Letting just the emotion get to me and stuff like that. But this psalm is a good reminder for me. You may not get anything out of it. I get a lot out of this psalm. David wrote this, and you know, when we think of David, my first thought is always his encounter with the giant Goliath. As a young man, he would go up and do something, fight literally a giant. And this is something that even the men in the army, 3 of his own brothers, weren't going to do. And this, I guess what you would call a civilian, he wasn't in the army, he was willing to do that. That's what my first thought was of David. But it is so much more, David is more complex than that. You know, he was anointed king of Israel. He would have the struggles of his best friend Jonathan when King Saul turned against David. He loved David, but his arrogant, worldly pride got the best of him. And he turns against David. And Saul's son, Jonathan, and David were best friends. And, you know, you have that, the king coming after you, fighting armies, fighting the Philistines. It just seems like everywhere David turned, he was up against it. And then while as king, we've had sermons on his sin with Bathsheba, you know, committing sexual sin and then compounding problems, committing sin to try to cover up sin. And in that event, his son would die. And David is much more than just the young boy that went up against Goliath. And I do not know, I tried to find out, I don't know at what point in David's life he wrote this psalm. But whether it was before, during, or after some of these events, I don't really think it matters, but you read these words, and this is coming from a guy that was involved in all of those events in his life. Not too much different from us. You know, I would assume every one of us has had a giant in our life that we had to face, that we had to face head on, like David. We are still here, so obviously we won. We have had heartache, hardships, trials, tribulations through our lives, and we've overcome them. And so when I look at these words, I apply it how it affects me today. And it was not only important to David, but maybe it will comfort, encourage, and inspire us. Starts off in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David, the shepherd boy, is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He understands what it was to be a shepherd. He understood the responsibility. He understood the work and the effort involved in being a good shepherd. In the chapter in 1 Samuel 17, where he goes and fights Goliath, earlier in the chapter, David's father wanted to send him, the younger son, to the army to check on his older brothers, to bring back word on his sons who were in the army, and to take gifts to their commanders and so forth, and to report back to him. And in 2 Samuel 17, verse 20, it says, so David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. So we see that he was an obedient son. He left the sheep. He was a shepherd. He took care of his family's flocks. And so when David says in Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, he fully understood. I think the most, you know, I've owned some dogs. I've never been a shepherd. I don't know that all, from a first-hand experience, all that goes into that. David does. David fully understands because he was a shepherd. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And back in 2 Samuel 17, in verse 34, Saul, he had volunteered to go out against this Philistine who's intimidating and insulting God and the Israelites. And he's volunteered to go fight him, and Saul was going to give him, you know, he says, you're just a kid. And in verse 34, it says, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. There is no doubt David's bravery. But as a young man, he has fought as a shepherd lions, bears. I don't know if I would want to be close to a lion or a bear, even with a gun. He did it in hand-to-hand, probably with a stick, a spear, you know, getting that close. And so when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, he knows what he has done to protect, to preserve the sheep of his family. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And he will get that comfort and the security from God. He goes on in verse 2 and says, as you know, this the Lord, the shepherd, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As a shepherd, that was one of the duties of a shepherd, is to take the sheep to good pasture, green pastures that they can rest in. That land over there, we would understand that land where David lived, because it was much like this, very arid, very dry. And when you would find green pastures, that those are few and far between. And the shepherd would care for the sheep. He would make sure that he takes them to green pastures for them to lie down and rest. He leads me beside the still waters. Again, comfort, providing for. And then there in verse 3, he restores my soul. That's not the job of a shepherd. But David's shepherd would even go above and beyond the physical. He restores my soul. Have you ever, and I hope not, and I hope never, but been in one of those dark, dark places in life where you did not know where to turn? Everywhere you turned was just as bad of a solution as where you were at. And you just didn't know how to get out of it. Almost hopeless. I have seen people like that. And it breaks my heart for somebody to look in their eyes and you don't see any hope in them. And they don't see any hope for themselves. David says that his shepherd, the Lord, restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, not just green pastures that are comfortable. Leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. The sheep are a reflection of the shepherd, and vice versa. And David's God, his shepherd, leads him in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If you have some time this week, I would encourage you to read two chapters in the Bible. Ezekiel 34. In it, you see an example of irresponsible shepherds and the true shepherd. And then in the New Testament, John chapter 10. And in that one, Jesus is talking about how he is the true shepherd, that the sheep knows his voice and he knows his sheep. And those are things that David understood, the concepts. And I would encourage you, we don't have time to read those two chapters tonight, but I would encourage you for a study this week, to read Ezekiel 34 and John chapter 10. In verse 4 of Psalms 23, he goes on to say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David spent an awful lot of time in danger. Not only danger in battle, facing giants, facing King Saul and his army after him, fighting the Philistines. It just seemed like everywhere he turned, he was boxed in many times in his life. Going back to 1 Samuel 17, later in the chapter, in verse 40, this is when he goes up against Goliath. It says, "Then he took his staff in his hand," after he had refused Saul's armor. "He took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine, so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." I am assuming that the sticks David carried was his walking stick and his shepherd's staff. A staff that he would have used as a shepherd. And going back to verse 4 of Psalms, says, "Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death." How many times had he done that? With Saul, with Goliath, with the Philistines, time after time after time. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff." David had a staff with him. You know, Goliath is looking at him, you're coming to me with sticks. You don't even have armor on, kid. I'm the biggest, baddest guy around. You've got sticks. David wrote, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." In 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 15, talking about even though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, here David would later be king. There were times when he was on the lam living in caves, hiding out from the Philistines, hiding out from Saul. He lived a lot of times in the valley of the shadow of death. Death always near to him. And in 1 Chronicles 11:15 it says, "Now 3 of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam, and the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rahim." David was living in a cave. He's got the Philistines out here. Saul's looking for him. But he says, "Even though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death." Now, we live in a valley here. And in the afternoon, well, morning and afternoon, we've got big shadows in this valley. And David lived a lot of his life. His life was in a valley, and there were shadows of death all around him. But he had the comfort of God. His rod and staff, they comforted him. There's not one of us that haven't had trials. David had trials. There's not one of us that haven't had hardships, whether it be health, financial relationship issues. We've all had some heartbreaks, loss of loved ones, loss of a job, frustrations. Plumbing is one of mine. Frustrations, and if it wasn't bad enough, while I was at Lowe's, I was reaching in my pocket and held a can of some stuff that I was getting. I got the ring on my shirt, and I'm frustration. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then it ends up, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. This not only occurred when David was king and had everything at his disposal. David felt this in his life. That even though people are against me, I know you are with me. If I'm eating a meal looking over my shoulder, who's going to attack me? Around a campfire in a cave, you've prepared a feast for me. You've prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. And when you think of all the things in David's life that he would face, the loss of a son, loss of a friend, the heartache of facing God through sin and repenting, he ends this psalm with, "Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's how he viewed it. Not that everything is good in my life. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not conditionally, not only when things are going good for me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God loved David. God didn't love some of the sins he committed, but God loved David. He was a man that I'm sure we can identify with. I don't know how long it's been since you've read Psalms 23. I know I needed it. Hopefully you got something out of it too, but one good thing about when I speak, I know that there's always going to be somebody that gets something out of a lesson I present, and it's usually me. So hopefully it rubbed off on some of you, but I know I got a lot out of this. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you have need of prayers in your life, if maybe you feel like you're surrounded by Philistines, giants, and enemies, and maybe you need help. Whatever your need, please come forward while Curtis leads us in the invitation. Let's stand.